One of the things we found in doing that study was that the Postal Service didn't have any plans to replace their delivery fleet in the near term. And given the fact that the age of the fleet was getting older, we flagged this as an audit area for 2010. And it did seem strange that you had an aging fleet, but yet there was no plans. They were deferring the capital replacement costs till well into the future.
One thing about this report that struck me as interesting was that you found ways that the Postal Service had been able to keep the current fleet going for so long, an unusually long time, through maintenance, things like that.
Yes. Basically, there were two things that, you know, we attribute the how they could keep the fleet going for so long. The first was the preventative maintenance schedule. They have a very active preventative maintenance program. They stay right on schedule. They have suppliers that supply the parts in a timely manner and so forth. So in that respect, it was very much a good news story. And we also had done an audit back in September of 2008 on the vehicle maintenance facilities, and we concluded pretty much the same thing, that the maintenance program was very effective, very timely, very proactive. But the second and most important reason, and this gets to the crux of our report, was that the Postal Service employs what we call a fix-as-fails strategy. And what that basically means is that the Postal Service will keep making repairs to their delivery vehicles, regardless of the amount of the cost of the repairs, just to keep them running in good operating condition. And they went to this strategy maybe 5 years ago when the financial condition started getting more serious, and they wanted to defer the capital outlay. So to do that, they decided to put off all of their reinvestment purchasing of vehicles until 2018. And they would employ this sales strategy. And we basically, concluded in this that the fix-as-fail strategy is very effective in the short term, because, most of the fleet was below what they would consider a reinvestment threshold of $3,500 in maintenance costs per vehicle. They had contractors in place that, could buy parts in a timely manner. And it's also, it's lower cost because you're not expending large amounts of money to buy additional vehicles. So you're just, handling the maintenance costs to keep those vehicles running. So we found, in the short term that was an effective strategy. However, in the long term, it becomes more problematic.
We're speaking with Mark Duda. He's the Deputy Assistant IG for Audits at the Postal Service. And so let's get to the recommendations here. What is it you think Postal should be doing? And also, by the way, how many trucks are involved?
The Postal Service has about 189,000 delivery vehicles. And we focused on a portion of those, which is about 142,000. And these are the vehicles you see in your neighborhood that deliver the mail and up and down the streets and so forth. And these have a life expectancy of 24 years. However, we found a portion of these delivery vehicles, about 19,000 of them, were nearing the end of their life. And as such, the maintenance costs are dramatically increasing, and the Postal Service has decided to put off replacing those vehicles until 2018 and just continuing to pay the maintenance fees on that. And we basically found that by doing that, by not replacing them immediately, the Postal Service could save $342 million if they just replace this segment of the fleet in 2011 versus waiting till 2018.
Are the same vehicles still available from the manufacturer?
Yes. And that's another unique thing in the Postal Service environment. Not just the fact that we have a very large fleet, but we also have right-hand drive vehicles, which very few manufacturers are available to supply that. So yes, the vehicles would be available to purchase now. The quandary is the capital outlay today.
Your office has a report and you make a recommendation. The onus is then on USPS to follow through, but is it a binding recommendation? What are the rules when it comes to something like this? And do they have to figure out where to come up with this money so that they can buy this new fleet?
As the Inspector General, our office, we're independent from management, so mm-hmm. we conduct the audits. We basically report the facts as they are. You know, if it supports management's agenda or opinion, that's fine. If it doesn't, that's fine. You know, we're going to do an independent assessment based on some criteria, and we're going to have conclusions, and then we make recommendations to management. And the significant recommendations, we will not close out until management has given us support showing that they've effectively met the intent of our recommendations and put actions in place to address the recommendation.
So in this case, what's the next step? What happens now?
Well, right now, management has agreed with our three recommendations, which, you know, very quickly, one was replace the segment of the vehicle fleet that is aging, and it's more cost effective to replace it now than keep pumping more maintenance dollars into the fleet as we go on. And then two is to emphasize to managers that when they get to the reinvestment threshold of $3,500 per vehicle, they need to do an assessment to make a determination. Does it make sense to put more money into this vehicle, or should we trade it in or sell it and then purchase a new vehicle? And they need to include cumulative costs in the $3,500. Many managers were of the opinion that that was a one-time, a $3,500 per expenditure, and it makes a huge difference whether that's cumulative costs for a vehicle or a one-time cost. But they've basically agreed with our recommendations, and they've provided plans to implement them by December 2010. And our job then will be to follow up with them and make sure that they've met the intent of the recommendations before we close them out. And that plan would include, you know, different types of options, you know, replacing this segment of the fleet. And they're also at the same time considering other new technologies, electrical, hydrogen, other types of vehicle replacement strategies, and that would all be incorporated into this plan. But even just the fact possibly replacing this portion of the fleet, there would still be some lead time in arranging the capital investment that would be made and so forth. Nothing would happen overnight, but I do think our report has pushed or emphasized this to management, and we'll get some action in this area.